Welcome to the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, joined by Elizabeth Licata, editor of Buffalo Spree. Thanks for coming in.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
You don't need us to tell you it was a rough winter. As warmer temperatures finally arrived this month, I noticed many of my neighbors were happily getting a head start preparing their gardens. Now, Elizabeth, you have an article in the upcoming May issue on what's hot and what's not from the world of gardening, and I don't want to give it all away, but one struck me, and that's bending over with hand tools is out, but using your feet to plant is in. How so?
Well, you just use a longer tool, Mark. So instead of using a hand tool that only has a handle that's maybe, 16 inches long, you have something that has a handle of the same length as you would have on a rake or a shovel where you can stand on it, and you can do, like they have lots of things that you can do with small shovels you can do with larger shovels easier, and you're using your feet, you're standing on it, you're not bending over, you're not using your back. I mean, there's all kind, as you know, your knees, I mean, whatever kind of knee pads and so on you have, it doesn't matter. It's still, when you get up to a certain age, as many gardeners are, because people get interested in gardening when they're older. There are 20 and 30 somethings interested in gardening, but most of the avid gardeners that I know are old enough to not really want to bend down that much.
Still, I can't imagine not getting on my hands and knees, especially when planting delicate annuals. You need to be there and using your hands, getting in the dirt.
Absolutely. However, I would also suggest a good thing to do is use big containers. A lot of people are using big raised containers, as we'll be featuring in our June issue of Spree, that to grow vegetables in. They're doing all their vegetable gardens where the containers are about 5 feet tall, and you can care for everything without having. So it's possible if you like bending over and straining your back. I'm not going to be the one to stop you, Mark. You go right ahead.
Now, I know.
Not going to give you an argument.
You're an avid gardener.
Yes.
So help me with this one. 2 years ago, I bought my annuals from Nursery A. And by the end of the season, my impatience were overflowing their bed. The colors were bright. Then last year, I went to Nursery B. And the results were less than satisfying. So I'm going back to Nursery A this year. But my question to you, does the nursery really matter that much when it comes to product quality?
Well, I think you should go to nurseries that are independent. We call them independent garden centers. I would avoid the big box stores. I'm not going to bother. We don't need to name businesses. But you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
An independent garden center is owned by a family. There are independent garden centers in Western New York. We're very lucky. We have many. There's no need to go to a big box home improvement store. You can go to wonderful independent garden centers where they take very, very good care of their plants. And actually, I am going to name some. There's Mishler's, Lockwood's, Menny's. These are great nurseries. Mike Weber, there's a ton of them. Adams. We are so lucky to have the garden centers that we do. And when you buy your annuals, you also want to look at them. And people tend to go for the ones that are bursting out of their little cells and there's lots of flowers when you buy them. No, don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Buy the ones where there's hardly any flowers coming out. The roots aren't coming out of the bottom of the pack. Buy the ones that are still small. Buy small.
Okay.
To win.
Very good. Very good. Now, we have the Garden Walk, the Buffalo Garden Walk, and many communities have their own garden walks now. It seems that in the last decade or so, people, average homeowners, are really taking gardening seriously.
It's great. It's great to see interesting gardens. I don't know what the gardens are like in your area, Mark, but in my area, it's no more, boring lawns with foundation shrubs. Everybody, people are growing flowers and perennials and interesting shrubs, flowering shrubs. And I think Garden Walk has had a huge influence. And I would say that the success of the other garden walks are due to the success of Buffalo's Garden Walk. Not for Buffalo. That is the daddy of them all.
Now some advice for gardeners, because when the temperature in April reaches 70, you might be tempted to start planting stuff. And really, you should wait. Shouldn't you wait till after at least Mother's Day so we make sure the last of the frost has disappeared for the season and you don't harm your new plants?
I think we should wait till the end of May. There's no question. Okay. I really think so. Despite the kind of warm springs that we've seen the last couple of years, well, that's not what we're seeing this year, right? So I think it's a safe, especially for things that you really could lose to frost and that don't like being in really cold night temperatures like tomatoes. They hate it. So why would you subject that to them? Just wait and plant them when they'll be happy.
Let's talk about lawn care, and I have a big question here, because for many years I've been using a lawn care company, and my wife, when the kid was little, said, I don't want the chemicals, so we got the organic material, and we used it for many, many years, but I'd be out there every spring on my hands and knees getting the dandelions out, getting the weeds out, and finally after he grew up and was out of the house, I said, I'm going back to the chemicals. My lawn looks great, but am I shaving years off my life because of a green lawn?
Well, I mean, not that I'm not concerned about your life, Mark, but you might want to think about what you're putting into the ground and what's being put into our groundwater. I mean, I'm sure that you listen to your station here. So, you know, there's big environmental effects from using chemicals in fields and wherever you use them. And you might think of yourself as one small homeowner. Oh, it's not. Well, I'm sure I don't need to tell you that with all the people we have using lawn chemicals, not to mention there's so many things about lawn care that are really stressful for the environment. You're using probably a gas-powered lawnmower. Those things don't have catalytic converters. Using one of those things for an hour is almost like driving your car across the entire length of New York State. This is not good stuff. So we're emitting greenhouse gases. We're not really saving. I mean, lawn care can just be so detrimental, and it doesn't need to be. If people would let their lawns go dormant in the summer when it's hot and only water like every 2 weeks or so, just let them grow brown and you know, don't use so much water. If people would mow high instead of shaving them down to the ground often. There's a lawn seed that you can use called, like EcoLawn, which is a mixture of sedges, which doesn't need any watering once it's established. I think that given what we've been hearing about the effects of climate change and what's going on with our environment, I think we all need to rethink every single thing that we do. And I would say gardening is not exempt from that.
And I shouldn't be so concerned about the weeds. They're just part of a lawn.
Why not learn a little tolerance? Okay. There's not. I think dandelions are pretty. And I think a lot of it, I just would, little clover, I mean, what's wrong with that? And there's types of ground covers that can be introduced to even take the place of lawns if you really want to go extreme. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you remember that guy who grew the meadow in his front yard, the UB grad student.
Yeah.
And that story, I think of that story a lot. We're not providing a good environment for beneficial insects when we have lawns. I would plant more trees. And it's just more interesting to look at a varied landscape with different perennials and shrubs and trees than it is to look at a, you know, flat green lawn. I understand that people like lawns and they're great for kids, but there's ways to take care of lawns that don't involve using chemicals, which I'm completely against.
I have a corner of my lot right in the rear, and I call it my wild corner. I'm just letting whatever grows there grow, and we'll see what happens.
Well, I think that's
so
really
it's interesting.
Fun.
It's based on, and I, you know, thought of that Ken Moore grad student from years ago as well with my little corner there.
Well, I think I do that a lot. I like to put a bunch of plants in one spot and then just see which one, let them fight it out.
Okay.
That's really fun.
Yeah. Well, let's move from gardening to dessert. The cover of the May issue of Buffalo Spree will entice readers with the title Just Desserts. Is this about where to find tasty goodies in Buffalo or more about making your own?
It's about where to find them and who's making the most wonderful, the prettiest, the most luscious milkshakes, the most amazing-looking cookies, the incredible artisan chocolates. There is donuts, cakes, cupcakes, all kinds of sweet rolls, all kinds of wonderful, wonderful dessert, ice cream sundaes. We did an issue on sweets once, but it really turned out to be mainly about chocolate and chocolatiers. So in this one, we're doing all the other sweets. And I think that May is sort of a fun, the colors are just beautiful when you see the issue. It's all full of these pastel colors. And some of the things that these people, these pastry chefs are doing with their cookies and cakes, it's beautiful and delicious.
And the issue arrives this week.
In fact, we're having an issue launch tomorrow, Tuesday evening at 5:30 at Osteria 166 on Franklin Street. We invite people to come and just pick up a copy and hang around and have some free snacks and check us out.
We have some leftovers from the April issue. One is the just-opened exhibit at the Castellani Art Museum featuring artist Bruce Adams. You wrote about that. The exhibit is titled Myths and Lies, and you write that there are few artists in this region more adept at painting the human figure than Adams.
He's very good at it. He likes to use the figure to illustrate ideas about humans that he has, and he likes to look at art history. He's very interested in art history, and he's interested in myths, so he kind of combines all these things. He likes to take pretty well-known Greek and Roman myths and transpose them into a contemporary scene, and that's really what these paintings are about. And they're also very vibrant, very colorful, just wonderful paintings to browse among, and, you know, the Castellani, I'm afraid that many of our listeners have never been there. It's a beautiful museum on the campus of Niagara University, big museum. It has a wonderful, gracious, large exhibition hall, and there's always wonderful shows there. And if you don't like Bruce's show, although I can't imagine that people wouldn't, you can walk around and see a lot of other great stuff.
And coming up this Saturday is the SEPA Gallery's art auction, and you describe it as the city's only professional art auction.
Yes, it's the only regular professional auction of contemporary art that we have that is very serious, that has some of the top artists in contemporary photography and indeed in the contemporary art world. For example, there's always a work by Cindy Sherman. Now, she's got to be among the top five contemporary artists working internationally today. We're very fortunate that we have a Buffalo connection with her and that she studied here and helped found Hall's Contemporary Art Center. So, but there's also a number of less established artists, maybe less well-known artists, but this is your opportunity to buy really a museum-quality work to hang in your own home, and sometimes more affordable than you might think. And it's also, they have a great auctioneer. They have great hors d'oeuvres. They walk up and down. They keep the wine flowing. It's really a lot of fun. SEPA does a great job, and it's Saturday, this coming Saturday.
Elizabeth, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Elizabeth Licata is editor of Buffalo Spree. I'm Mark Scott, WBFO News.